The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio with listeners in all 26 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is also licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio, and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Renee Byrd. She's the latest UK R&B pop songstress whose vocal talent has invited the attention of associates of the legendary Quincy Jones. Renee has performed at some of the most talked about international venues and on behalf of a European prime minister. Renee comes from a corporate background which funded and elevated her exciting musical career from boardroom to stage. With her unique voice and engaging live performances, Renee has been creating a social media buzz with an online video that amassed over 100,000 views.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Renee. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. Thanks, Sam, for a lovely, lovely introduction. Very kind of you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I love the phrase boardroom to stage. That's awesome.
You love it. Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to do the whole second thing, huh? You know, you got to have two sides to you, huh?
That's right. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about when you got started down this journey. How old were you?
Wow. I was quite a youngster. Can I say that? I was I've been always doing music from a very, very young age, but I would say I started really singing when I was about 13. My first experience in the studio, basically a backing singer or a lead, maybe a lead singer didn't turn up. And I remember saying to my dad, who was also in the music industry at the time, I can do it. And he kind of looked at me like, okay, sit down, child. And then I asked him if he didn't mind to leave the room because I got really embarrassed because I was a little bit shy at that age. And opened my mouth, and I don't think he could believe it. They've been like, I've been working with all these singers, and little did I know my daughter could sound like an angel. So, yeah, very young I started. But I would say I came into my own as you become a little bit old and aware, because your songs start becoming your life story. And I think when you see singers singing about quite heartfelt experiences, you can really understand it a bit more when they've maybe experienced it, because it becomes a little bit more authentic. So I would say the growth happened as I got older and my voice grew and then my songwriting grew as a result.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your dad. Was he an influence on you?
Yes, he was huge. I mean, as a child, I had a lot of people in the music industry that I used to watch. He was signed to RCA and it was in the early 80s. He had a Brit funk kind of soul band called Buzz. And as a child, I was always seeing him on the TV. So my mum, I'd cry that he'd left for the day, but then she would say, sit in front of the TV, he's going to be on in a minute. So I used to see him a lot on different channels. And I was very lucky as a child to be a lot of the open air concerts, like maybe equivalent of, they call it Glastonbury, that kind of equivalent at the time. And I'd see like Sade when I was very young and Sting perform on stage. I'd be literally sitting on a speaker in the corner watching with my mouth open. And yeah. I once in the intermission, because they change over, don't they, when you do like different bands, and sure. The band was changing over and I couldn't help myself. I just ran on the stage, grabbed the mic and started serenading the crowd. And my dad was in the back thinking I told her to sit on the stage, but I couldn't help it. It was just something in you that knew you wanted to be a singer. It was amazing.
Yeah. Jamie, one of our listeners, is asking a question of you. And the question is,
okay,
it's kind of blunt. It's like, tell us how you know Quincy Jones. So I think she heard your bio and she got all excited. And obviously, yeah, Quincy's a great guy, but tell us a little bit about your relationship or how you've worked with him or talked to him or what you've done.
Yeah, so basically what happened, I received in my inbox, you know, people can find you. I received an email, was literally out for dinner with the team, and they saw me with my mouth open, like, and they were like, something happened, you okay? I was like, I've just received an email. It came from one of his team members saying they've heard your song Born Again, and I think it's amazing, and we need to talk. And literally it was like out of the blue, I didn't pitch for it, nothing. They just literally heard my voice on the internet and thought she's amazing. So I started to obviously send them loads of other stuff so they can hear what I was about. And, you know, history is it just happened. It was just out of the blue.
Wow.
Literally. No.
Have you done any songs with him, or have you collaborated in any way with him, or not really?
Yeah. So what's going to happen? We're in talks at the moment, but that's the early stages of it. So yeah, just I'm still in shock at the moment.
Wow. Yeah. I'd be in shock. You know, that's like, everyone's kind of fantasizing now about getting, like, you know, some well-known person to just kind of email them. Yeah. And in today's day and age, right? It's like, you're wondering if it's spam. Is it real? You know?
And I had to go and have a look. And then I saw that he'd obviously was working with that particular label, and it was, you know, they were together. So I was like, oh my God, this is really real. Yeah. It feels surreal. You know, there's certain moments in your life you remember, and that's one of them. Because to me, he's involved in everybody, isn't it? The biggest stars in the world. So to get recognized by him was just phenomenal.
Yeah, he's such a legend. I mean, I read his biography, and I've seen some, I think it was on Netflix, you know, a documentary about him. And he's a legend. I mean, and he's such a cool dude. He really is.
He is. He's amazing. Yeah, he's been very responsible for us. His own music is out of this world. And then he just put that sparkle on the biggest acts. One we've lost, my MJ.
Yeah.
Still can't imagine. Yeah. So as I said, I still have to pinch myself. But, you know, I gave my best. As I say, put your best foot forward, and the best person heard it. And I'm still blown away. So I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
No, it's wonderful. And, you know, I'm an 80s child, so Michael Jackson was a big influence on me. So Quincy obviously had a lot to do with that.
Totally, totally amazing.
Well, let's move on to you. When you sit down and you want to write a song, mm-hmm. how do you get started? You start with a melody, music, drum beat, you know, lyrics. How do you do it?
It's really funny. It comes in different guises. A lot of the time, I always say a song is a story with a hook. So there's something repetitive in it when you actually get to writing the song. But it always starts with a story. And sometimes it could be something that I've experienced that just triggers me. And the thing of songwriting, it doesn't just happen in the day. It normally happens when you're trying to sleep. You got to wake up yeah. and get it out of your system. Just write it down. I'm very lucky that my brothers are part of my production team. There's three of us. There's Tesley and JJ, and we work together. So sometimes I might just walk in the studio and they've got a beat going and a melody or a sound or a feeling. And then I just go in there and just start singing. And then he goes, oh, got it. Write it down. So sometimes it happens like that. And then sometimes it happens where you create the whole song from start to finish and that magic occurs. And that's happened a few times in the studio where it's just euphoric.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it's experiences, you know, I really came into my own songwriting through pain, I would say, because it became very therapeutic to me. And it's either you sink or you have to swim. And I was able to let a lot of the emotion out in songwriting. It was therapeutic. And then singing, because it helps cleanse your soul. So I would say that I really came into my own in that part of me when I went through pain. And it's quite crazy because then you start healing others, even though you was in pain when you wrote it, if you understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And, you know, let's be honest, music is so therapeutic. It gets us through all kinds of moods. So I definitely understand what you're saying.
Mm. And so I would say it depends. A lot of the time I write down stories or just things. I mean, in this season, I know music's been so powerful for a lot of people, but what's been even more powerful is how the legendary, the nostalgic, timeless songs have come back that have healed a lot of souls, you know, Stand By Me and things like that. So I think a lot of songs are recycled in different ways. Sometimes it's really hard not to be inspired by something else. Not that you've taken their melody, not that you've even taken their lyrics. It's just that song catches something in you and you create something else. So a lot of the time, I think songs are recycled. I think, you know, you see the lawyers listening in, don't they, when the song comes out, like, is it
totally a rip-off or something
else? But it's going to be hard not to have something, because why you, as you're an individual listening to music and be inspired by music, there are going to be things that come into you, whether you like it or not. It's just, I think it's in the same realm,
yeah.
You know?
I agree. And I think it's crazy now where you can't even say, like, hey, I wrote this song, you know, it sounds like this artist or was inspired by this genre or this art. You can't even say that anymore, because it's almost like, you know, they're going to go after you if it ever makes it.
Yeah. But then you have to, because then if you are taking something which is a nuance, you can't ignore, because then they'll go, well, why didn't you say? But I just think we're all in, you know, how many songs have maybe you could have written a melody and you, the TV goes on, the radio goes on. Oh my God, that's the same thing I was thinking.
Yeah.
You must literally recycle itself sometimes. And that's the inspiration, isn't it? There's some great rock songs, great pop songs that you would have heard. Almost they've got in your DNA in your sleep. And sure, whether you like it or not, it comes out. But it will just come out in your interpretation, you know? So I think you need to be free in songwriting. You need to be free in music. I don't think there needs to be restraints on you. Otherwise, you can't be creative.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at chord progressions, drum grooves, I mean, there's only so many.
Thank you.
You can tweak it a little bit, but sometimes they can go back and say, hey, this guy 20 years ago that you've never heard, that you never tried to mimic, and they come up with some obscure thing that it's crazy. It really is.
It's hard, and it may, as I said, it puts a muzzle on creativity. I think there's always going to be inspiration. I think when you're being listened to as an artist, you know, people have interpretations of who they think I might sound like or what that sound sounds like. So there's always going to be something it's going to be referenced to, isn't it? It's very rare can you hear a song and it's just completely unique. There's going to be something about it. Hence maybe why you like it in the first place, because it might have something reminiscent that you've heard before. Yeah. So I think it's just important for people to be allowed to express themselves, but it's that individual person doing it, because we're all individuals, we're all unique. There's no one person the same, even when they're twins. So I think you should be allowed to just share and feel. It's a feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Music's a feeling more than anything.
Absolutely. Tell the audience a little bit about what's your typical week like?
Oh, God. You know, it's really crazy. I was saying to someone the other day, I'm actually busier in COVID than I was before. I don't know if it's because we're in one place, so we just are giving ourselves more work. Well, how does it start? I'm an exercise freak. I have to keep myself as fit as I can because I sing. Sure. So I'm a spinner. So I've got a Peloton at home. So that's good fun. And I join in the virtual world of spinning. And then take some time out and I pray and I meditate to kind of detune and really reflect on what my day would look like. I've got to be very careful as a vocalist what I eat as well, because I'm not sure if the audience knows that certain dairy products and chocolates, if I'm being naughty, can clog you up. So that can mess with everything you're trying to do. And then I take in the world, because the world is helping me to create. I can't create without absorbing what's happening, the good and the bad. So I don't know, a lot of people understand creative people because we're a little bit confusing at times. We're a bit odd. I'm very emotional about a lot of things. I take on a lot of things emotionally because of the creative in me. But then the great thing about it, I can sing it out. So throughout my day, I will be singing most of the day. I'm doing vocal exercises constantly. That's part of my day. And then I could spin around and could be dealing with an individual, or because I've got a little IG series that I'm doing at the moment, just to spin back a little bit. My debut single came out literally a month before COVID. So it hit in the UK in March, and then I put it out on the 10th of February. So you can imagine the campaign that went behind it and the video and all the things that you've got to do for PR. So I got a good push and a lot of great traction because the song is about born again and being inspired, but it wasn't as great as I would have liked it to be if this didn't happen. So I had to stop and think about what can I do with my platform that can heal souls, because my music's about creating and giving back. And I created this IG Live series called Who Am I Talk. And that's been really powerful in this season as well. So that's been keeping me busy alongside my music, where I've been talking about other people's stories as other than myself. Yeah. So that's been a really busy time.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. That sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it was really funny. One of my team members, because we were trying to do something anyway prior to this, but they said, you know what, the fact that you're at home, the fact that you can actually get access to people more than you've ever done, let's see if you can connect with people that you know and talk about themselves other than you talking about yourself. Because, you know, I'm not sure people know about people in the industry or what we can be like. We can be quite self-absorbent artists, but we have to sometimes take a step back, and it can't always be about us. And I really have this thing about using my platform in a very positive way. And I started reaching out to people that I know in industry, brand experts, a few celebrities in the entertainment industry. So I'll give an example. I had an interview with a guy called Chris Collins. He was the face for Ralph Lauren back in the day. He was like a supermodel, and he's now got a fragrance line. So I got him on my platform. We spoke on IG about his story, which was so fascinating to see where he started and how he was scouted. And we had an, you know, obviously you must know about the Black Lives Matter movement. We had a few protests over here. And there was a guy who's now become a good friend called Patrick Hutchinson, who carried someone over. He was injured quite tremendously and helped him, a white guy, in the protest. And since then, he's catapulted. Like, he had a little chat with Prince Harry the other day. He said he can't believe it. It's like, from helping one person, his whole life changed. But I had him on the platform talking about that, because humanity was at its kindest at that moment, and he did something very special. And then a whole host of people that was helping people, help mental health people, people who knew nutrition, was on my platform. And it was crazy, because at that time I was promoting my music, but my social media went through the roof. I had about 1 million reach, because everyone wanted to listen in to get some inspiration and also be inspired that they can do anything they want to do. Because that's what it is. People don't know your story sometimes. They just see you on the red carpet or see you collecting the award. But when they hear what you've gone through to get there, it gives a whole newfound of respect, doesn't it? People think, they see the end product. So I was able to share everyone's story in industry, in entertainment, people who, you know, had an aesthetics doctor on there. It was phenomenal. So yeah, I've really found a lot about who I am at this time, you know?
Wonderful.
There's so much more.
So I'll tell you what, tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear in 2 minutes. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it when we listen to it?
It's a 1979 classic, and I wish I'd wrote it. It was actually written by David Shire and Carol Connors, and originally was recorded by Blue Preston and Syreeta. And it was a duet. And I remember as a child hearing this beautiful, angelic song. Billy Preston's got a voice anyway. He's amazing. And I've Syreeta of an angel. And I said, I want to do this song. My dad used to look at me like, okay, my darling, you know, don't get ahead of yourself when it comes to vocals. But I said, I want to make it and do it on my own. So I first did an acoustic, which was the slow version of, which you know, of the Born Again, With You I'm Born Again. And then we said, you know what, let's change it up. And now it's more of a like up-tempo salsa R&B sound. And people thought it was my song. They actually believed it was mine. And I was like, no, this is a cover. And it's so beautiful because it's about new beginnings, isn't it? And I think it's very poignant for this time, where we've gone through the biggest journey in this pandemic from like when it all started. And a lot of people have had to self-reflect, have to look at who they are and to see if they want to change. And it's a reset that's happened this year. Some things have been really horrible, where people have lost people and jobs. And I think about them, my heart goes out to them. But there's something about a renewal and a new beginning that has happened. And I didn't know how poignant the song that I ended up putting out this year will be for a lot of people, because when you find love, you feel like you're renewed. And sometimes new life and new experiences gives you a second chance. So this song feels like a second chance to me. And I think it's very much poignant with this season that we're in, really much so.
Awesome. All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to your song and then we'll come back and talk, okay?
Okay.
All right, Renee, check this out, everybody. Here we go. Softness. Well, that was a wonderful song, Renee. Thank you so much for sharing that cover with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad you like it. Thank you very much.
I love it. So we have a couple more questions for you from the listeners. I'm going to take this one first. So
no problem.
Paul wants to know, he must have missed your bio, but he wants to know where your accent is from.
Oh, it's from the UK, London. Hi, Paul.
London.
Yeah, it's
all
from
right.
London.
You seem like you've performed quite a bit.
Yeah.
What is like the place that stands out in your mind as like the best show? And it didn't even have to be the best performance, but just the most memorable memory for you.
I would say I performed for a European prime minister. They found me again on the internet, literally. And I then thought it was a scam because I didn't understand. And it felt like the Men in Black was trying to contact me. And that happened very quickly. I went to, I opened for an art gallery opening. It was amazing. There was lots of dignitaries there and a beautiful, they put on a very beautiful stage performance for me and a big rig in. And it was just captivating because the audience was engaged like I've never had before. So they were in every song and they were every fan. It was just phenomenal. And the love I received, it was overwhelming because, you know, you do what you love. And the whole idea is you're giving a lot of yourself to whoever you're performing for. So it's something very special when you see them engaging and having a good time when you're performing. So that one, I would say, was very powerful. And then what was real fun, I was very grateful to do a performance for Tracy Ellis Ross. She came over here in the UK when she did her pilot. I wouldn't say pilot, it was actually her opening for Read Between the Lines, her program. And she came and did a Q&A over here. And we did like, I did a PA at her event. So that was for BET. So that was good fun. And she is an absolute riot. She's so much fun. We had such a good laugh. So there's various things I've done, but the one in Europe, I would say, was very powerful because it was a beautiful feeling. I remember on stage, it was just nothing but love, a great atmosphere on that particular night. Yeah, it was great.
That's very cool. You know, we're kind of a tight-knit community, so I'm going to ask you a question. I always ask every guest on the show about scams. Tell us about a scam that you might have fallen for, one you've heard about, so we can protect each other.
Oh, gosh. Scams. Oh, you know what? I haven't thankfully been involved in it, but I've heard a lot about romance scams, which is a massive thing that's going on. Because why I say people have to be so careful is because love, everybody wants it, and everybody wants to be loved and to love. And I've heard of some horror stories where people have like literally, you know, given up their life savings and sent money to somebody because they thought the person was real and thought they wanted to be with the person. So I can't like say enough to the audiences that please be careful, you know, meet people. I know we can't do a lot of it in COVID, so it's on the rise at the moment, romance scams. Follow your gut, you know. Your gut always tells you the truth, doesn't it? And if somebody's authentic, they will be patient, they will meet you, you'll get to see their family and all the different rules that we need to follow. But for love, because love is one of the center things for people, a lot of people misplace that and make the wrong decisions. So just be careful. That's happening a lot at the moment.
Yeah. Tell us about the funniest thing that's happened to you in the last few years.
Oh, God. That's interesting. Funny. You know what? I like to have a good laugh most days, I'll be honest with you. I'm a bit of a giggler, but let's think. I think the classic thing when you, walking down the road. Oh, I'll tell you what happened once. So I'm African, I'm a Caribbean descent black woman. And there was one occasion when I was, you put in on, you must have heard, when you have a weave. And I had my hair in cornrow, which is plaits. And a lot of us might occasionally, depending on the look we want to maintain, wear a wig on top. And totally forgot that I had my hat thing on and didn't put the wig on. And left the house and then looked at the reflection and thought, and you know what was really strange? It's like I was obviously feeling very comfortable about everything. Got and looked at the reflection, saw the car and thought, oh my God, what are you doing? And it was just hilarious. Absolutely. And what happened, a couple of people walked past me, said nothing, you know, didn't even go, by the way, did you notice that maybe you have what you're supposed to have on? And I thought that was the funniest.
You didn't scare them enough, right? You didn't have farm animals running away from you or anything like that.
No, it was. It's funny, isn't it? You just totally didn't notice the thing. I was on my merry way, thinking I looked amazing. Not to say I wouldn't look amazing with my cornrow or plaits, but I wasn't finished. So that was very funny, and I'm pretty sure women will maybe attest to this more. We're listening in.
That's hilarious.
That was very. I had no idea at all.
Yeah, is there an app on your phone that you can't live without?
Oh, gosh. I think it has to be Uber. Yeah, it has to be Uber.
Okay.
But it's funny, I haven't actually done much of it at the moment, to be honest with you. I'll be using it tomorrow, but a lot of it I haven't been on. But that is an app that I definitely need, because when I was doing a lot of out, you know, running around, it was just something that, I mean, it's one of the biggest adventures. It's one of the best and biggest inventions I think that's happened in our time. Just to think how easy and quick you could just jump anywhere. I'll tell you, I would have loved to have been a part of that company.
did well. Totally. Yeah. Can you tell our audience, where can they buy your music? Where can they stream you, contact you, follow you on social media?
Yes. Well, I'm in various places. So you can connect with me on Instagram, Renee Bird Official. I tend to do a lot of stuff on there. That's my IG Live series. And I'm very, very much a person that can connect. I speak to everybody. My music is being streamed on iTunes, Spotify. My Facebook is Renee Bird Global, Renee Bird World on Twitter. And also, if you want to have a look about what I'm about, you can go into www.reneebird.com. So I think, and I say this with all humbleness, if you go put me in Google, Renee Byrd, spelled R-E-N-E-B-Y-R-D, I should come up with some of my interviews and things like that. So please come and say hi. I'd love to have a chat. Definitely.
Okay, wonderful. So for the last question, you have a choice. You can tell us the last movie that made you laugh or the last one that made you cry. Your choice.
Oh, it's got to be laugh, isn't it? We're in a time where we need to laugh. My favorite movie of all time when it comes to having a good giggle, it's got to be Bridesmaids. I hope people are with me. It's one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
It's just hilarious. Even when I think about it, I laugh. So yeah, that's got to be Bridesmaids. I'm all about a good giggle, and it's like one of my favorite. It's just, it's cringe, it's everything, but it's just brilliant, brilliant comedy.
Yeah, it really is. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Renee, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me, Sam, and all the people that are listening. Thank you so much for listening. And I wish you all the best this time, okay? Without anything, wish you best. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, Renee, and we'd love to have you on again anytime.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
You're welcome. So to any listeners out there, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show and you're an artist, please feel free to just reach out to me. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening, everyone. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called I Couldn't Help You. It's a multi-genre song. It starts with EDM, moves to pop, then R&B hip-hop, and finally climaxes to rock for the chorus. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a wonderful night. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.